The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. They are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. A man who had been married for some 50 years died and was buried. And after he had been buried, his wife went along to a monument worker and asked him to make a tombstone to put on the grave of her husband. And of course he asked her, "What would you like inscribed on the tombstone?" And she said, "A loving husband of 50 years, may he rest in peace." Shortly after that, she read his will and discovered in the will that he had left everything to another woman. So she called up the man who was making the tombstone and said, "I want the letters on the tombstone changed." To which he said, "I can't do it now. I have finished. It's finished." "Okay," she said. "Well, at the bottom of the tombstone, put, 'Until we meet again. Peace be with you. Now, I want you to create a picture in your mind. This is the first time that Jesus meets the whole 11 of his apostles after he was raised from the dead. And the first thing he says to them is, peace or shalom. Shalom is a very important word in the Hebrew language. Shalom means more than peace. It means, may you be whole and complete and free from all anxiety in the eyes of God. And then the person to say shalom would normally say, shalom, shalom. Now, if it had been me and I had come in and met those apostles for the first time, I don't think I would have said peace. I would probably have said, you bunch of idiots, where were you when I really, really needed you? You really did let me down. But no, that wasn't Jesus. Again, go back to the apostles. This is the first time they come face to face, so to speak, with Jesus. Imagine how they must have felt. They would have felt shame, a lot of guilt. Isn't that how we often feel when we come to God? Shame and guilt. Afraid to look God in the eyes. And yet, Jesus says to them, peace. There's no word of condemnation. None whatsoever. Except total forgiveness. And this is why this second Sunday of Easter is known as Divine Mercy Sunday. We cannot even begin to understand or to fathom the infinite mercy of God. It's beyond our puny minds, beyond our comprehension, the infinite mercy of God. Again, if it was me and somebody had let me down, or really, excuse me, or really hurt me, I think I would be very anxious to let them know how I felt. I think most of us, I'm pretty true when I say that for most of us, we'd like to let them know how one felt or how I felt, but not Jesus. Total forgiveness and total mercy. Now, there's another very important point in the gospel this evening. Jesus came and he said to Thomas, come here, Thomas, look at my wounds. Put your hand in my side. Look at my hands. And so it was the wounded Christ who was resurrected. Now, our story of Christ, of Jesus, is always about the resurrection of Jesus, just his resurrection. But it was wounded and resurrected. That contains a vital, important message for us. It was through his wounds that he was raised from the dead. So it was not just, we're not just saved by the resurrection of Jesus, but by his death and resurrection, by his wounds, by his pain, and by his suffering. And so, is that not true of every one of us here this evening, every one of you listening to me tonight? It's true of me. I would like to think that I would come before God whole and complete and perfect. No, I'm never going to be able to do that. And I think neither will you, if you're honest. But we come before the Lord with our wounds, with our failings. And it's through our suffering and our wounds and dealing with them that we really, really come to the Lord, come to God, so to speak, by our pain and through our pain and through our suffering and how we deal with them. We all, no matter who we are, we're going through a lot of pain and suffering at the moment. We're living in a very abnormal, unusual situation. I think you've heard it said before, or at least I've said it many times. The definition of suffering, the true definition of suffering is when we are not in control. And at the moment, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the president or anybody else or the king or who you are not in control. We are totally at the mercy of God at the moment. We don't know when the coronavirus is end or if it will pass or if it will come back again. So what can we do? All we can do is hand over to God. Trust in God. Trust. We hear about Thomas this evening finding difficulty in believing. We all at times find difficulty in believing. But the opposite to not believing, the opposite to believing is not doubt, but trust. Trust. So this evening, we need again to say from the bottom of our hearts to make an act of trust in the Lord. I have no control over what is happening at the moment, what I'm going through, but Jesus, I trust in you. And I know that eventually all will be well. All will be all right. In you, Jesus, I trust.